You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The collapse of the Philadelphia Eagles. Unbelievable. And if you saw any minute of play over the last month, very believable. Run out of Tampa. The what now and whether anyone is thinking Belichick could be the play for Philadelphia, which is a fascinating development for one reporter who found it so funny on television when suggested by a big-hearted stallion host, but absconded with the idea in the newspaper with no credit. You, sir, Tim Kalishaw, are being muted back to the Stone Age here, laughing at Belichick to Dallas Friday, writing it up Sunday night at 9:13 local, a flip-flop worthy of Ron John. You get no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Let's go around the horn. It's still going down.
Oh,
we're past minus Nintendo 64 here.
Just give him more points lost than he gave me when I picked TCU, Tony.
Let's see. How low does it go? Triple digits? Yes! Triple digits for Kalishaw. We'll get to him in a second. Halfway through the third quarter in the Super Bowl last year, Philly was up by 10 on KC. From that moment through the 10-1 start to this, stomped out by 9-8 Tampa. It's hard to believe it's the same team. Bucks 32, Eagles 9. Who should we start with? Well, let's see if we get Tim back into double digits negative. How did this happen for Philadelphia?
Let me say on that first point, as Abraham Lincoln told us, it is better to be sometimes right than to be always wrong.
Oh, now you're Abraham Lincoln.
If I find my opinion to be erroneous, I shall be ready to renounce them. Okay, I've renounced it, and I've moved on. Now, about the Philadelphia Eagles. This story began opening week against New England when they nearly gave that game away in the fourth quarter. And they proceeded for the next 3 months to go 10-1 while winning two games by 14 points, everything else by single digits. They were basically last year's Vikings. Their defense was falling apart all the way. And then the offense joined them by becoming turnover crazy down the stretch. Jalen Hurts finished with Dak Prescott stats from a year ago. 23 touchdown passes, 15 interceptions. That's not good. Beyond that, they ran into the teams. They got some lucky wins, some fortunate wins against Kansas City and Buffalo, but they couldn't run the ball. The defense completely collapsed. They made a terrible decision to go to Matt Patricia. And I think the team just, at the end, look at them tackling. They gave up.
George Sedano to you now on the collapse of Philadelphia.
Tony, let's start with the micro. The micro, tackling. There's no question. 157 yards after contact, tied for the most in a playoff game in NFL history. Wow. Also the micro, third down conversions, 0 for 9. By the way, also 0 for 2 on fourth downs. They had, I believe, 11 yards on those third down conversions. Third down, 0 for 9, only 11 yards in 9 attempts, which is insane. And then the big picture here is, really just the way this offense was structured. After Steichen left, I think they to Tim's point, they won some games narrowly. They were not winning games convincingly like they had previously, and teams started to catch up. After the 10-1 start, you started to see some holes in their offensive line, particularly, where they were terrible against the blitz. Jalen Hurts was terrible against the blitz. Their receivers are running these long routes that makes him have to improvise. And again, that's a recipe for disaster when you have a leaky offensive line and a quarterback who's not great against pressure.
David Dennis Jr., the collapse of the Eagles, where do you think blame should lie?
Blame is D, all of the above. The defense, to George's point, could not tackle 200 plus yards after catch. And, you know, they almost gave Ray Lewis a stroke when he was trying to watch that team tackle for a couple of those touchdowns against Tampa Bay. But offensively, it's coaching and the decisions that they made. They had Swift as a running back, a 1,000-yard rusher for the season. First two plays of the game, he rushed for 12 yards. He ran for two more times for the rest of the first half when the game was very much still in question. What is that game plan? Then there was that team's inability for the last, you know, half of this season, last six games of the season, and now to figure out what to do against the blitz. Tampa Bay, with that zero blitz, just feasted on that Eagles team who could not figure out to do. Third and fourth down, as Dono mentioned, 0-for-11 on conversions, the worst since 1988. Jalen Hurts, 2-for-6, 7 yards during those with two sacks on third and fourth down conversions when blitz. How do you not figure out some sort of package to block during that time? This was how the defense failed their coach, but the coach failed the offense with a game plan.
And Emily Kaplan, it's a unanimous, understandably, that this is a collapse of epic proportions for a team that was 10-1 and in the Super Bowl the previous year. Where does blame lie?
I'm going to pile on just like you piled on, Tim. I just feel like this is about a team that lost their identity, and how perfect of a microcosm is it that they couldn't even get the tush push to work in this game. You know, you go back to that 10-1 start, and then they get smoked by the 49ers, and Bosa said, we gave the rest of the league a blueprint for how to beat them, and he was right, including that loss. They're now 1-6, and they got away from their identity, as David mentioned, DeAndre Swift in the run game. That was what Bosa was talking about. When was the last time you remember them having like a really good design run or him incorporated in the plan? The tackling, as the guys mentioned, it looked like they were in the Pro Bowl mode. And then it just goes all back to coaching, because if the schematic things aren't working, you panic for the defensive coordinator and all goes wrong. Then you get all these whispers in the locker room that everyone's discontent. This is a team that's in total disarray. It's been looking like this for weeks, so it's absolutely no surprise, because they didn't look like prepared for a playoff game. They showed up in the playoffs and they were absolutely unprepared.
It was even worse than Philly fans possibly could think. You're right on that. The question of whether they could move on from Nick Sirianni is a bold question. But for a team that moved on from Doug Peterson 3 years after winning a Super Bowl, it's not out of nowhere. And with Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Jim Harbaugh available, it's a fascinating question. Emily Kaplan, what do you think the play is for Philly here? Can you see them, honestly, moving on from a coach that got them to the Super Bowl 11 months ago?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a tough market. It's the not for long league. And Philadelphia is a really tough city to coach in. Certain personalities can withstand it. John Tortorella can withstand it. By the way, Philly fans, at least you've got the Flyers. And in a year where there's so many strong candidates out there, I think it's malpractice to continue on with Nick Sirianni. All of those men you mentioned would be a really good fit. Add with Mike Vrabel, right? Like, he's a tough guy. He could handle Philly. He could handle this locker room. It's a really well-constructed roster. It was just coaching that unraveled.
I think it was coaching that it unraveled. David Dennis Jr., can you see a team moving on from a coach that got them to the Super Bowl 11 months ago?
Generally, I would say no. Getting to the Super Bowl a year ago, they didn't have A.J. Brown, but they're 31st in win percentage, 31st in opponent's point per game, 31st in points margin over that losing streak that they had. And with, in addition to the fact there are so many players who are talking about, you know, grumblings and so much leaks coming out for that team about their, you know, how unhappy they are with the coach and the problems that they're having. And in addition to that, the fact that there are so many coaches that you think are better options out there, you got to make a move.
George Sedano, to you.
Tony, life is about options, and you're only as good as your options. And what does Nick Sirianni do well? I guess that's the question that I would ask. It's a rhetorical one, but I don't know what he does well necessarily. It's not offense, as we've seen this thing kind of collapse here recently. And he's not a defensive guy necessarily either. He had two really good coordinators last year, both who have gone on to greener pastures. And I think that's it. That's something you look at if you're the Eagles. And you talked about Doug Peterson being let go after three Super Bowls. How about Andy Reid? He went to five NFC Championship games. Granted, he didn't win the big one, but they went away from Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. So if any franchise is going to cut ties, it would be this one, especially with the options that are available.
And now to Tim Kalishaw.
I think Sirianni's cockiness and arrogance served the Eagles well as they were growing and becoming a really good team.
I'm glad you said that, because it really was a plus for such a long time.
But you remember, like in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts pulling him back as he's yelling at Chiefs players and refs and things. I think that can hurt a coach at the end. And if you have Bill Belichick sitting out there.
Oh, here we go. This is unbelievable.
And maybe Dallas
wants it. You just broke that he has to go to.
How about a bidding war? How about a bidding war in the NFC? Yes. Yes. I can correct my mistakes. Yes.
So now you think it's a showdown between Philly and Dallas over who gets the rights to talk to, interview, send out a tweet when you interview a coach, because that's what NFL teams do now. And bring in Bill Belichick. Who? What's the better position?
Yeah, I mean,
let me ask you that, Tim Kalish. What would be more desirable for Belichick?
I think it's close to being a toss-up, but it's probably Philadelphia because the working with the owner and Howie Roseman is easier than working with Jerry Jones.
Belichick?
Yeah, it's definitely Philadelphia. Do you want to deal with Jerry? You think Bill Parcells, who couldn't deal with Jerry Jones? I mean, think about that part of the equation. Remember all that stuff that transpired many years ago? You think Bill Belichick wants any piece of that? No way.
Tim Kalishaw, minus 113 points here, right now, which is near record, but it's
par.
Not yet. You didn't get to where Jackie Mack was, minus 500. You wrote that Belichick to the Cowboys needs to happen after scoffing about it 2 days earlier, and now 24 hours later you're saying Philadelphia needs to get Belichick.
Both teams.
This is,
both teams.
This is it's like a tennis match, a ping-pong match in your own head right now. We'll move on. The Bucs advancing. Let's give Tampa some love. Baker Mayfield Renaissance Tour. 337-3. Let the acknowledgments be as loud as the doubts were, George Sedano. What's your number one takeaway from the Bucs after a win like this?
It is the redemption of Baker Mayfield. Only him and Tom Brady have thrown for over 300 yards in a playoff game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This guy threw for 28 touchdowns, 10 picks, following Tom Brady and playing for his career, Tony. This was a guy that the Rams brought in, won a game on a Thursday night. People didn't know what he was at this point because he had failed in Cleveland, had failed in Carolina, and the redemption tour for Baker Mayfield has come full circle.
And again, let the acknowledgments be as loud as the doubts were, George Sedano. I believe you were doubting Baker Mayfield.
I was.
Yes? Mm-hmm.
I was, and he deserves all the flowers at this
point. David Dennis Jr.?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield is a huge part of the story, of course, but Todd Bowles and what he has done with this team. They wanted his job, not too long ago, and to have $90 million in cap space tied up with Brady, tied up with Jensen, who's injured, and to come up with that defensive schematic to shut down that Eagles team. This is about what Todd Bowles has done to fortify that squad when they lost a quarter, the greatest quarterback of all time.
Lee Kaplan, a takeaway from Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, Baker had 8 head coaches in the NHL. NFL.
Whoa!
Sorry, that's a sport that I cover. Just mute me like Tim. So 8 head coaches. Do you know how much resilience that takes to withstand all of that and stay true to yourself? Also, I'm just really glad this wasn't the last game for Mike Evans as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Greatest wide receiver they've ever had. Wanted a new contract this year. 10 years in that organization to have a career year in your contract year. Didn't have the best game. Dropped a touchdown. I'm glad he gets to keep playing.
And Tim Kalishaw.
As the only panelist here who covered Baker's first college game, Texas Tech at SMU, and has believed in him all the way. In fact, I think I wrote, in his sixth year, he'll win a playoff game with his fourth NFL team. That would happen. It really goes beyond that. It goes about a defense that does tackle, that does hit, that has great linebackers. And that team is going up to Detroit, and they're going to play a good game against Detroit.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there. He was in the practice squad for Carolina, lined up on the defensive line, playing scout defensive line, wearing a red jersey just a year ago. Unbelievable. All right, taking a break right here. Buy or sell on the other side where Tim Kalishaw tries to get into double digits negative.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
Bills, Kansas City, what happened the last time they met? Kadarius Toney, what happened the last time they met in the playoffs? 13 seconds. This is the good stuff, people. Can't wait for this weekend. Last night, the Bills over Pittsburgh. Buffalo coming out strong. Some lulls in the middle. Who doesn't have lulls in the middle? That Allen TD run goes straight in the highlight reel, by my eyes. Not a fake slide, like some were saying. That's a juke in freezing temperature. That's what it looks like. George, were you more or less convinced by the Bills with this playoff win?
I'm more convinced because every week for the last 6 weeks, Tony, they've basically been in a playoff scenario. So to quote Bane in The Dark Knight Rises, you merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, and that's where the Bills are right now.
There you go. Love it. TC?
Yeah, but I'm not sure that it helps a team to be on that kind of a run. Sometimes it wears down if you've had to win all those games, and now you're playing the Chiefs. Yesterday you led the Steelers by 7 early in the fourth quarter. Mason Rudolph's not coming through that door Sunday. It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Travis Kelce. It's a team you have trouble beating. I think the Chiefs are going to beat them.
Okay, again. So you question the lull that they had midway through the game and that Pittsburgh was still in it. Emily Kaplan, your takeaway from Buffalo's win?
Yeah, like, I feel okay about them. Josh Allen did his thing, didn't turn over the ball, ran really well. But as my esteemed but maligned colleague Tim mentioned, they had a really hard time putting away the Steelers. This has kind of been their thing. Missed 2 field goals, got hurt by penalties. Like, they're okay, but I think there's other teams in the AFC that also can be are better.
David Dennis Jr.
I'm kind of where I was with the Bills when the game started. I mean, I thought they were going to beat the Steelers, and when they don't turn the ball over, they have as good a chance as anybody to go to the Super Bowl. But that was only the fourth game this season, which Josh Allen did not have a turnover. So it's all about the volatility there, and that's hard to really bet on them being not turning the ball over going forward.
All right, that sounds like 3 then, who are muted at least. Of their optimism on this team, even in a playoff win. They win a game in the playoffs, you said they got to do more. This is how you guys roll. We'll move on. David, take me through Mike Tomlin after the game here. Take a listen.
Mike, you have a year left on your contract.
That was our Brooke Pryor who asked the question, David. Buy or sell that reaction for Tomlin and his future in Pittsburgh.
I'm buying it. This is a guy who, first of all, is probably not deciding what he wants to do anyway, but this is a guy who understands the tenure and the legacy that he has at Steelers. 17 straight winning seasons. He was one of the best coaches this season, taking a team that probably shouldn't have been there as far as they did. He knows what's up. He can walk off and answer that question when he's ready.
Yeah, you said tenure. He doesn't have tenure. He's got 17-year. George Sedato, how about you?
Okay.
Tony, you got to ask the question. I get that, but he's earned the right to do this on his own timeline. He's got a year left on his deal, and if I were him, I would look at this franchise and say, you know, have the decisions on the roster been what will help us win the most? He doesn't have the final say on those things. Are those questions he's asking himself? And if he does, rightly so.
Skip Tim Kalischer just for a second because there's going to be some drama with his answer. Emily Kaplan, to you.
You know, he could have handled it better. However, like, I see a coach in the moment that's really frustrated by this loss. As I said, his team played really hard. He's on his third quarterback. Penalties killed him, and he's without his best player, T.J. Watt. Again, he could have handled this better, but has Mike Tomlin said anything or shown anything over the last several years that hasn't shown that he's fiercely loyal to Pittsburgh? I assume he's going to be back.
I think the overall feeling is they were not a threat this year, nor have they been a threat in any of the last Pick the number. They haven't won a playoff game now going on almost a decade. So that part of it. All right, Tim Kalischer, this is our last buy or sell. You need 11 points to not be in minus triple figures. Go ahead.
I got a lot of thoughts about this one, Tony. I'm glad you brought this up. I asked Mike McCarthy. I'm the only one here, who asked Mike McCarthy after Sunday's game about his job status, and he answered the question. You just say, I'm worried about the players in the locker room, and I'm thinking about the game.
Okay.
I'm not thinking about that. It's not that hard not to be rude and not to just walk off. As far as Tomlin, I agree with you, actually, that making the playoffs is fine, but there's 7 teams in each conference that make the playoffs now. That's not what it used to be, so let's not get all excited about the fact they got into the playoffs and had almost 0 chance of beating Buffalo.
Oh,
they need some offense.
Sure. That was a
they
solid
need some
answer,
offense.
Tim.
I can give you 99 names. I can give you 99 offensive coaches that would help that team.
Yeah, Belichick, I think if you're ready to write that. He goes,
Let's start with Paul Hackett.
I just ended up maybe the real field temperature in your town today, Dallas.
Cold.
Yeah, it's real cold.
It's cold.
Tim, I love you. You know what? You know how much I love you.
Thank you.
Take it. You take it like anybody else, and you know the two most important things in life. Never rat on your friends, and always keep your mouth shut. That's it. David Dennis Jr., the drought continues. David Dennis Jr. hasn't made showdown since he came to the set and touched the mute button. His drought continues. Our showdown next is Emily Kaplan and George Sedano.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Australian Open, there's a party court. What's a party court, you ask? This is a party court. Open bar. They ask you to be quieter, but it's still an open bar. Stefanos Tsitsipas has called it a weird concept, a distraction from keeping players out of the zone. He said it bothered him in the subconscious when he was on the court. George, party up or party down?
Party up, Tony. Listen, I watched Gail Monfils play on that court over the weekend, and he balled out. He was vibing with the vibe they had on court six. There's only 1,000 people there anyway, all right? Party up all day. This isn't the Waste Management Open. Let's go.
Emily Kaplan?
Yeah, the tennis season's really long. There's a lot of stops, and everyone has known for years that the Australian Open is the piss-up event. Shout out to my Australian former roommates for
that
one.
Whoa, you can say that?
That has to be a lot better than what they were getting. Yeah, I did. It's better than the U.S. that everyone was booking at the U.S. Open. It has to be better than that, right?
We are living in a McAfee world, I guess, now.
Heck the lungs.
The answer is party down. Are we having fun yet? Which means party up. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Party down was a great show. I wish it came back and really hammered it like it did in the old days. We'll give a point to each. We'll move on. This new trend in the NFL where teams brag about interviewing coaches. I alluded to it before. This is what it looks like. Falcons and Chargers flexing that they've interviewed Belichick and Harbaugh, respectively. Emily, do you think that helps or hurts those teams?
Yeah, like, I'm all for transparency. The Belichick one is just especially hilarious. Is this what finally gets him to wear a suit? Does he get a letter of recommendation from Kraft or Tom Brady? Like, do we finally get him to reveal his weaknesses? Like, what does a Bill Belichick interview look like?
Okay.
Tony, the most secretive people in the world are head football coaches. You think they want any of this publicity? Let's be real with this. Although I would love the Belichick to Atlanta because I would hope that he would do, like, a southern draw like Brian Kelly. That would be fantastic.
If anything, it hurts their chances of getting the guys, and this is comical. This makes them look so, at least we interviewed you guys. No. Emily Kaplan, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
So you know I want to talk about hockey, and there's been so much good hockey this past month in the NHL, but also the PWHL, the new women's league that launches, that finally gives the professionalism and stage of some of the best players we've ever seen in the sport, like Hillary Knight and Marie-Philippe Poulin deserve. The crowds have been great, the TV coverage has been great, and there's even goaltender interference controversies. It's a perfect hockey league. Congratulations, ladies. Continued success.
Minnesota's been hot to start. Watch out for New York, though. Madison Packer, we know her from her Riveters days. All right, we got a little time here. David Dennis Jr., I just want to recap here. 2 months ago, he came to visit me and I said, you know, you can touch the screen, you can touch the mute button, but nobody who's touched the mute button has ever won ever since touching. And he's on a drought right now. He touched the mute button. Here it is, visual proof. And he's on a drought. We're in a 23-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.